If you could open up your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 2. I'll give us a heads up that this would seem to be, if we're taking parts of this out of context, a dangerous passage for me to go into, particularly as the pastor of Christian education within the church. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. If we could drop on down in 1 John chapter 2 to verse 26. He says, "These things I have written to you concerning those who were trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you." Well, that cancels out a lot of my time right there. But we know that that's not what Scripture's saying. Real quick, we won't spend a lot of time. I'll give you some passages just in case. Maybe you thought that's what it meant. First off, 1 Corinthians 12, last time I was with you at Offertory, there's a need for every part of the body. God ordains each part of the body. Ephesians chapter 4 would tell us that that includes pastors and teachers. God has brought them in for the work of service to the building up of the body, equipping of the saints. As well as Hebrews 10:25 would say, don't forsake the assembling together. So, yes, there's still teachers, pastors, and we're still to come to church. So, sorry, that doesn't cancel out any of those. There's a different context to that. Just thought we'd hit on that real quick. But it says, "You have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him." We know that this anointing in which the passage is referring to is him giving us the Spirit of his Son. So we have the Spirit of Christ within us. But nevertheless, it tells us that there's those that are trying to deceive. We begin to come in, and we started talking about this. Savannah was at the grocery store the other day, and you had two people come up to you, and they came kind of under the guise of they wanted to talk to you about Jesus. And I would say, if I'm not exaggerating, there's probably 10 to 12 things they said right out of the gate that we would go, we kind of agree with that. Right? I mean, they're going through and you're going, well, they're kind of, okay, they're hitting this aspect of the gospel. They're hitting this. And you would go, okay, I'm getting kind of caught up in thinking that. But then as they get far in the conversation, one of them goes, and you're going, yeah, well, listen, I'm a believer, give my life to Christ. You know, we're part of this church. And they go, well, are you ready for something new? And of course, the Spirit within you, the Spirit of Christ is going, I don't need anything new. He doesn't change. What new do I need? But you see the deception that begins to come into that. Is if somebody comes up, and one of the things we were talking about, somebody goes, God wants you to go rob that bank and punch your sibling. You probably go, okay, that's probably not super deceiving to a lot of people. Unless you're looking to do those things. And then you go, that's all I needed to hear. He's not telling you to do that, by the way, just in case there was anybody thinking that. But some of the most dangerous lies are going to seem to be 95% true. And those things that come under the guise of the gospel, that come under the guise of godly wisdom, but what the passage began to tell us and what he means by there's no need for anyone to teach you, you and I, if we've come to Christ, we have his Spirit within us. And he begins to testify in our heart truth from a lie. That's what the passage begins to tell us. That we realize that there's going to be those that are going to begin to come in and begin to tell us things that maybe on the sense, look, we know there's going to be those that hold to a form of godliness but deny the power. And so we know there's those that are going to come wolves in sheep's clothing. There's going to be deceiving messages brought. But you and I, we come to Christ, we have that seal. We have that promise. We have the Spirit living within us. And he begins to testify right from wrong. We're sitting there and somebody may be saying all these things and then they go, you want something new? And you go, the Spirit just goes, wait, hold on a second. That something just doesn't set right with that. They don't even have to finish the sentence. There's no need for anything. I don't need the gospel plus anything else. Amen. And, you know, I thought back to, I've shared my testimony before, but the Lord rescued me and brought me to himself, and I didn't grow up in church. I've probably been to church less than a half a dozen times. I had heard the gospel, but at the time that I'd heard it as a young man, it didn't mean anything to me at the time. But I remember coming to Christ, and I remember being in the workplace, and I remember there were certain ones that some would even say they were a Christian, and the thought would be, not having grown up in there, that it was real easy to go, okay, well, they're a Christian, maybe they're even older than me, and go, okay, well, they're saying this, it must be true. But I remember coming to Christ, and even though I couldn't have told you a verse, I couldn't have told you anything in particular, there was almost this pull within my heart. At different times, I would hear something and go, that just doesn't seem right. And what my encouragement for us is, there's going to be times the Spirit of Christ, you're going to hear something. He's going to begin to move in our heart. We're going to be unsettled. Maybe we don't know the passage. Maybe we're not quite sure. Maybe we think that Scripture maybe says this. We go, let me get into God's Word. Let me seek actual godly counsel. What does He actually say? Just because somebody may come under the guise of they're following the Lord or they're bringing you the gospel message, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be deception in there. And we're not strong enough on our own to have a guard against that, but we're not on our own if we've come to Christ. We have His Spirit. If you would go with me as well in John chapter 15, and this morning, funny enough, in men's prayer, Pastor Gary was talking about this whole thing of the Spirit leading us and how do we begin to know. And there's a really John 14, 15, and the 16, we see the Holy Spirit, the Helper, as he'll say, continuing to come in, and we begin to understand more and more of His role in our life. But it tells us in verse 26 of chapter 15, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth. So what is He going to begin to testify of in our heart? Truth. Well, we just read in 1 John, not a lie. So He's going to begin to discern the difference within our heart. Who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about Me. What you have within this is there's not going to be something that God's going to begin to say and His Spirit's going to tell us to do something different. So the first piece, as we were talking with the men this morning, is you're not going to hear the Spirit of Christ begin to say anything that goes against God's Word. And what you're not going to do is ever have the Spirit of Christ begin to say, let's elevate someone other than Christ. Because what does the passage say? Proceeds from the Father, He'll testify about Me. That's Jesus saying that. And so if anyone begins to come to you and in any way their message, though it may seem to be within maybe we'll say a godly realm, but they're elevating anyone other than Christ or anything other than the standard of God's Word, there's deceit in there. And the Spirit of Christ begins to move in our heart, and we go, there's just something that doesn't settle right about that. I just don't feel at peace with that. If you were to go with me as well, back into 1 John chapter 2, in the same way, he'll say earlier in chapter 2, he says, the one who says he's in the light, verse 9, chapter 2, and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. Same word that we see later in the chapter of his Spirit abiding with us, remaining with us, not leaving. In the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. The other thing, as you begin to look in verse 11, is the one who hates his brother is in darkness. Well, the very beginning of 1 John chapter 1 begins to say that there's no darkness in him. And so his Spirit's not going to begin to lead or burden towards tearing down the body. And in the same way, as you go farther in chapter 2, he says in verse 19, they went out from us, they were not really of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained with us. For they went out for would be shown that they are not of us. We have the Spirit of faithfulness within us. And so my point in this is, in chapter 4 and verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Matthew chapter 7, we won't turn there just time's sake, but verse 15 to 20, we begin to talk about this whole thing of a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, a bad tree, good fruit. The very context of that at the beginning of that passage would begin to bring in false prophets. So my other point in this is, consider who's giving you the message. If you have one that you don't see a spirit of faithfulness in, and you see a spirit of tearing down, you don't see a spirit of building up, and that they're beginning to want to proclaim to you things as truth, consider and test the spirit of who's actually telling you that. God hasn't called us to just hook, line, and sinker everything that we hear just because someone may mention the name of Jesus. Maybe they call themselves a Christian. Maybe they go to church. Maybe they one day walk through these doors. God has given us his spirit to begin to discern truth from a lie. And he's given us his word to begin to make those things clear. We go to him, and he's the standard. And so my encouragement for you is, look, there's many false teachers. There's many deceptions that are out there. There's many that want to come under the guise of Christianity and yet are looking to deceive. We want to run to him, and we want to listen to his spirit. There's going to be times you're going to hear something, and you're just going to go, that just doesn't sound right. I encourage you to dig in his word. Go seek counsel from one that you know is going to point you towards truth. But just because somebody says it doesn't mean it's true. It's not the only, the internet's not the only place that you find lies, right? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you today, we know that around us there's so many false messages. And Lord, like the evil one, there's great craftiness in presenting things that are false as true. We know there's many motivations in that. Lord, it can be very intimidating to begin to see that, but I'm so encouraged and thankful that you tell us in your word that you've given the spirit of your son to dwell in our heart when we come to you. We make you, Lord, Lord and Savior, and he's going to abide with us. He's going to begin to reveal truth from a lie in our hearts. There's going to be false prophets, false teachers begin to come in. Lord, you haven't called us to just be swept away in those things. You give us clarity of truth in our heart, testifying about who you are. Lord, may we not be those that are easily dissuaded, those that will stand firm until the end in truth. Lord, you've called us as the church to be the pillar and support of truth. Lord, we're so thankful that you haven't called us to do that alone. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.